I'm sure most people have spent some time reading scripture. We'll remember the story about the two men in the book of Joshua who were sent to secretly spy out the land that included the fortified city of Jericho. After their covert ops mission, they spent the night at the house of a harlot named Rahab. And to a certain degree, it kind of makes sense that they would go to the house of a harlot. I mean, what better place that there would be for them to just blend into the background, that nobody would pay attention to the fact that they were there? I mean, sure, it does seem a little bit awkward, but of all the places that they could have gone, that would have been the perfect place to hide out and just remain anonymous. And despite how careful they were trying to be someone who wouldn't be noticed, they ended up getting noticed, and the king and that person lets the king know that, hey, we got people from Israel here in our land. The king then demands that she brings them the men out, and so they can be taken and interrogated. But instead of giving them up, she decides to hide them and send the guards on a wild goose chase. Surely she could have been a patriot and told the king that right exactly where they were. And so we ask the question, what motivated her to lie to the king for two foreigners who she didn't even know? Well, let's take a look at her response. In verse 8, it says, "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and on earth beneath.'" So basically, Rahab is telling them that Jericho doesn't stand a chance against you. The people have already heard the story about how Israel's God takes care of them, how he fights for them, and how they were afraid. She said, "Our hearts did melt." Now, keep in mind that she is not talking about something that just happened the previous week or something that happened a month ago. They crossed the Red Sea 40 years before she even met these men. Now, as you read through scripture, certain things begin to pop out at you. It becomes clear how God is working things out, as he's bringing things together, when you begin to look at these situations that they've gone through. So immediately after God shows his power in Egypt with the plagues and everything he did, and delivers his people through the Red Sea without a single boat, mind you, those who heard about what happened began to travel to other places. And they say that word of mouth is the best type of advertising, because people can't help to tell and talk about what they have seen. They can't help but to tell everybody how these great nations were humbled by the God of heaven on the behalf of these people who seem to have come out of nowhere. Now, I imagine it was something that people talked about for years. And even today, people still talk about our situations, the things that have gone on in our time here, like 9/11. And I'm sure most people can remember vividly where they were when the buildings were hit by the planes. The whole world watched as the towers came crashing down. And how could people not talk about what happened in Egypt? Water turning into blood, frogs overrunning the city, lice, flies, boils, hails, and locusts, and the firstborn of the house of the city being killed. Just one or two of these events might be able to be dismissed as just a stroke of bad luck. But 10 plagues and the Red Sea opening up to let millions of people pass is a sight to see. It's something that people would talk about for quite some time. But see, that's exactly what God wanted. He wanted to make a statement that would make an impression on everyone who heard it. Egypt was over 6,500 miles from Jericho. To give you a little reference, that is like taking a round trip from New York to Portland, Oregon. Going around, and you would still end up having less of a distance than it would be from Jericho to Egypt. And yet, we also are talking about a time period where there was no internet. There was no cell phones, no phones at all, no planes, the only form of transportation people had were carts and horses and mules. You know, and so here it is, word got around from wide and far, far and wide about what happened in Egypt, because like I said, people can't help but to talk about what they have seen. And who knows how many travelers came through Jericho talking about the Israelites. Rahab, and apparently all the people, were convinced that these things actually happened. To me, that more than adequately illustrates the principle of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Jericho had already heard the story enough to have developed a fear of Israel. And Rahab had come to believe that Israel's God was the true God of heaven. Far too often today, people take for granted just how effective it is just to speak the word. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to have a degree in Bible. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have 20 years worth of teaching the Bible under your belt. The simplest thing in the world is to just tell people what you know about God. And it's amazing how much that one little thing can do to spread God's glory. Sometimes we automatically assume that people are just too caught up in the world to want to hear about a Bible discussion. We tell ourselves that not very many people will believe me, but remember we tell ourselves that not very many people will believe me, that most people are, you know, have some other religion focus, they have some other focus, they may be atheists, and maybe that is the case. But when you take time to look at the case of Rahab, here it is, this woman was somebody who had no focus on God whatsoever. But Matthew said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it. And even though Rahab was just the one person in this whole nation that believed enough to make to take action, here it is, she was the one person that they came to. She was the one person that believed, but that one person caused her entire family to be saved. Amen. People may have their reservations, and they may have their issues. And you really never know, though, what it is that people are going through. You never know how much God has been working on the heart of just one person, and what effects that one person can have in this world. Amen. Jesus was just one man, but he changed the world. Imagine what we can do when we put our focus on serving God here in this world. These people here were so focused, the spies were so focused on hiding that they were more focused on trying to stay low-key and not bring any attention to themselves. And so they weren't really even thinking of considering the possibility that that anyone in the city might be saved. Surely, I imagine that here it is, they see this woman who's a prostitute, who probably the very last thing on her mind was anything about God. And yet she comes and wants to be delivered by them. Rahab believed. And now she believed, and because she believed, she has to make a decision. And that's the decision that a lot of us have to come to. That we have to actually decide what we're going to do next. Here it is. Does she obey the king's command and hope that things will just work out? Or does she act on her faith? It was James who said, faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verses 17 and in verse 26. And as a matter of fact, it was in that very same chapter where James says that Rahab was justified because she acted on her faith.
Amen.
In verse 25. See, it's not just enough to say that you believe. It's not enough to know that destruction is coming if you don't do anything about it. Rahab believed enough to be convinced that she had to get out of her comfort zone and speak up. She said in verse 12, Therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She believed to the point where she knew that death was coming for them in that city. If Rahab had remained quiet, there would have been one less person in the lineage of Christ. If Rahab had done nothing, her family would have died with her as she tries to ignore what she knew was coming. Rahab had a faith that moved her to take action. A faith that delivered her from certain destruction. My question to us today is, what type of faith do you have? Do you have a relaxed type of faith that makes you sit back and think that all you have to do is just believe? Oh, the work has already been done. I can just sit back and just praise Jesus in my quiet little room. Or do you have a faith that will not only deliver you, but your family and your neighbors and your coworkers and maybe a bunch of people that you don't even know? See, we have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that our actions are too insignificant to be used by God, that we don't mean anything in this grand scope, scope of salvation. Sometimes people have faith in God, but don't have very much faith in themselves. We focus too much on the fact that we may not be as educated as some other people, or not as religious, or far too often are focused on what we have done wrong in our past. We focus on who we used to be before we came to Christ. But Rahab did not let her sinful past dictate what her future was going to be. She not only avoided death, but she later got married to Salmon, allowing her to become the mother of Boaz, to become the grandmother of Obed, and eventually the great-great-grandmother of King David. God can do amazing things in our lives if we just let him. The people of Jericho were so scared that they were seemingly without hope. But Rahab was able to provide a sense of comfort, at least to her family, because she put her faith in God of heaven. There are a lot of people today who are feeling depressed, who are feeling overwhelmed and hopeless because of the situations that we are going through in today's day. the media is constantly bombarding us in our minds with negativity about coronavirus. All I hear every time about the coronavirus is how many people have died and how many people got it and not how many people have overcome it and the fact that we are still going strong as a nation, but they keep focusing on what negative things. Oh, there might be another new variant out there of the coronavirus. Instead of focusing on giving people hope, all we hear sometimes is negativity. We keep hearing about the national debt, the increasing national debt, and the fluctuating stock market. The question really is, what are people putting their faith in? Are you putting your faith in what these politicians and the promises of these politicians and these social leaders are saying? Or are you putting your promises, are you putting your faith in the promises of God? Rahab asked for a true token, which ended up being her scarlet thread. What are the true tokens or the scarlet threads that we can trust in today from God? Well, let us take a look at Psalms 23, verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Or we can look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Maybe even we can take a look at Psalms chapter 103, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Let your scarlet thread today be the word of God on your lips. What you hear again, again, and again. When Rahab sent the spies away, she knew Jericho would be destroyed. She knew her friends would die. But she also knew that if she kept her word, held up her side, end of the bargain, her family would be saved. When the spies left, she had to make sure that all of her family was under her roof when the city was attacked. That was her guarantee. Any of her family that was not under the roof would die. She had to make sure that they were there with her. God has given us his word today and has told us what we need to do to get the results that his word promises. He has said that salvation is in his dear son and in none other. That if we are in him, then we can escape the destruction that is coming in this world. We know that if we have Christ on our side, then we can not only escape the destruction that is coming, but that we can have an eternity of love, joy, and peace with him. An eternity where we will know no pain, know no suffering, that God himself will wipe away all tears. This morning, we need to do all that we can to keep our mind, to guard our hearts and our minds, so that we can make sure that we have the type of faith that delivers. A faith that not just delivers us, but all who we can spread the word to. So there's not just those who we know who can be saved, but the more we spread the word, the many more people can be saved. This morning, make up in your mind that you will have a faith that delivers, a faith that will help deliver this world from the certain destruction that's coming. There will be a lot that won't believe, but there will be many who will. Let us take time to focus our efforts and being the kind of people that God wants us to be, so that we can continue to praise God's name and be with him in that final day. This morning,
whatever your issues are, let them be known. God can take care of whatever it is that you're going through. And this morning, if you have any prayers, let them be known. As together we stand and sing the invitation song.